还在华氏36、37摄氏是多少？
So in May and June, and the lowest temperature sometimes sort of remains at 36 and 37 Fahrenheit.
还在摄氏2到3度在徘徊，
So 2 to 3 Celsius.
直到本周，气温最低气温才上升到了摄氏大概18度，也就是华氏60度左右。
Until this week, and the lowest temperature finally rises the Fahrenheit 60 degrees, about 18 degrees Celsius.
所以，对于喜欢在自家后院里边种一些蔬菜的人来讲呢，直到进入6月份之后，才脱离了那种霜冻的危险期。
So for backyard farmers, and until June, the vegetable just passed the danger of frost.
那说起来种蔬菜，除了低温霜冻之外，还有一个危害是什么？
To planting vegetables, besides the low temperatures, what other risk we run into?
就是多种昆虫和病菌。
So all kinds of pests and fungi.
大家看见没有？这是一个菜种，
So those are the seeds.
是多年来我第一次从马纳斯买到的亚洲的豆角的品种。
Yeah, so those are the first time actually I bought from Menard, the Asian, Asian beans.
大约在2周之前，我把种子种下了。
About 2 weeks ago, I planted the seed.
结果有的刚刚发芽，有的还没有完全发出芽来，被虫子全给从根儿上给咬死。
The pest ate all them up, even before they sprout. Or even broke the ground.
所以我将剩下来的几粒种子先用农药泡了泡，然后呢，在种的地里之前，在那个地上又喷洒了一些农药，然后种上。
So this time around, I soaked them in pesticide, and then even when I sow them, I apply more pesticide into the soil where I plant the seeds.
我相信种过豆角的人知道，等它秧子长高了以后呢，我还要给它喷洒农药。
So everyone grow a vegetable in your backyard probably knows that I will also apply pesticide once it's sprouting.
那我想请问，用这样的方式种出来的豆角还叫不叫有机蔬菜？叫不叫？
So can you call my beans?
啊，我看摇头啊，哎呦。
Can you call my the beans? I grow organic.
什么叫有机食品？
So what's the concept of organic food?
有机食品是指使用不涉及现代化合成投入，比如化学合成的农药和化肥。
So the organic food or food never used any modern synthesis technologies.
不含有转基因的生物，以及不使用辐射的工业溶剂或者化学食品添加剂等等这种方法生产处理的食品。
For example, not using any any pesticide or fertilizer through the chemo synthesis process, not using any genetically modified organisms, not using any radiations, industrial solvent, or any chemical food additives.
哇，这么长啊！但是大家请注意，不使用化学合成的农药和化肥是什么概念？
So, but one thing I do want to call out is not using any fertilizer or pesticide through a chemo synthesis. What does that mean?
这意思就是说，有机食物所用的，不是说不使用任何的化肥和杀虫剂，而是使用有机的农药、有机的肥料，
So
或者叫有机的化肥。
to organic food doesn't mean they're not using any pesticide or a fertilizer, but they are using organic ones.
这是一种呢，三合一的杀虫剂。
So this is actually three-in-one fungicide.
它可以防止真菌、昆虫和螨虫，不单是治愈，还是 可以防治的，
It really
影响它的激素，影响它们产卵。
So this actually going to prevent not only fungi but also pesticide and mites, and not only they kill them, they also disturb their growth cycle.
它的药物效果呢，主要是来自于大量生长在印度或者缅甸地区的一种树，叫什么树？叫链树，或者我们叫苦链树。
So the effective ingredients of this fungicide are really from the tree grow in India and Burma.
它是用这种苦链树的树籽榨出来的油，然后提炼合成的。
And those are the seed oil from the tree.
那这种农药如果用在我们的蔬菜上，我们能不能称我们的蔬菜是有机的蔬菜
？So if we use this type of pesticide or fungicide, can we call our vegetables organic?
因为完全是有机的，没有化学合成。
So everything there is really natural, nothing really synthesized.
所以由此我们得出两个结论：第一是家庭种植蔬菜，包括种植水果树，不可避免的要遭遇病虫害的侵袭。
So we have two conclusions. The first one is, we for the backyard growers, and it's inevitable, the vegetable will be attacked by pests.
第二呢，驱虫、杀虫和预防虫害也是不可回避的措施。
So secondly, so it's also inevitable. You need to take a necessary steps to repel, kill, and prevent pests.
关键问题不是用不用农药，而是选择用什么农药。
So the key is whether not about whether you use you apply pesticide or not. It's really to choose what type of pesticide you use.
那我们施肥也是一样的概念。
So does fertilizer.
那在我们的信仰生活中
，So talking about our life, our believing life.
当我们成为基督徒，成为耶稣的信徒之后，不可避免的也会遭到各种各样的试炼，还有试探的考验。
So for Christians, it's also inevitable to encounter trials of many kinds and the test of trials.
我们怎样面对，怎样经历，怎样安全的度过各种各样的考验呢
？So how will we face and experience and also safely pass all kinds of tests?
这就是我们要从雅各书一章要学习和思想讨论的，我称它叫三部曲。
So that's something we're going to learn from James 1, and I call it a trilogy.
跨越基督信徒生命成熟的三道鸿沟。
Today we're going to talk about one. It's really trying to help us to cross three gulfs to become mature Christians.
今天我们就借着雅各书一章二到十一节这段经文，一起来思想如何跨越基督信徒生命成熟的第一道鸿沟。
So despite the scripture we read today, let's talk about how to go past the first gulf.
勇于直面试炼的考验。
So really, the courage to face the test of trials.
我多次问过大家一个问题，就说弟兄姐妹和朋友们，我们做基督徒的目的是什么？做耶稣基督信徒的目的是什么
？We ask our brothers and sisters, many friends, this question: What's the purpose for us to become Christians?
那我们先来看一看雅各书一章一节这句经文，做上帝和主耶稣基督仆人的雅各，请散住十二个支派之人的安。
Let's look at the James 1 on the screen.
雅各书是主耶稣的弟弟雅各在担任第一代耶路撒冷教会的领袖的时候，他那个时间所写的一封书信。
So this is really one of the epistles written by, Jesus' brother, James, when he was the leader of the first generation church.
我曾经跟大家讲过，可能，或者说是很有可能，这是新约圣经中写成最早的一封书信。
So this is very possible. This is the first, every first epistle was written.
那在这句问安语中，大家注意，它的对象呢，是散住十二个支派之人。
So if you look at this greeting, it's the they're sending their greeting to the folks, the 12 tribes of Israel that are scattered among the nations.
我们简略的回忆一下散住十二支派人他们的历史。
So we can just briefly go through the history of this diaspora.
从公元前722年，亚述帝国灭了北国。
So in 722 BC, the Assyrian Empire destroyed the Northern Kingdom.
到公元前586年，巴比伦灭了南国。
And in 566 BC, and Babylon conquered the Southern Kingdom.
以至于到后来各个帝国的兴衰，最后到了罗马帝国的时期。我曾经跟大家讲过一个顺口溜，叫“亚伯波西爱睡觉”，就是从亚述、巴比伦、波斯、叙利亚，一直到最后罗马。
So from that time to all the time to the Roman empires, there are many kingdoms or empires rising.
在这漫长的年代里边，十二支派的以色列人怎么样呢？他们作为战俘，到世界各地去了。
Yeah, during this window of time, and Jewish folks, they actually became prisoners of war.
他们有的作为征召的军人
，and they caught up to serve military.
有的是逃离的难民
，and some of them are fleeing refugees.
但有的也是做买卖经商的人
，and some of them are businessmen.
他们遍及当时的罗马帝国的世界各地。
So they're really scattered, to all corners of the Roman Empire.
那这些以色列侨民他们的后代的信仰呢，有三个特点。
So their believing have three characteristics.
第一呢，是他们的祖辈相信耶和华神。
So their ancestors, of course, believe our God.
第二呢，他们几代人深受他们所居住的国家里边的各种的宗教礼仪的影响。
Right, throughout generations, they also deeply were intertwined with the local religions.
第三呢，是这些人成为了基督徒之后他们的信仰状况。
And the third one is really their recognition and belief when they become Christians.
我请大家仔细想一想。散居世界各地的第一代犹太基督徒和我们今天散住在世界各地的基督徒，在本质上我们所面临的挑战有没有不同？
So if we pause and think for a second, if you look at the first generation of Jewish Christians with today, our modern Christians scattered around the world, was are there any differences between us if we're in terms of the challenges we face?
是没有本质的区别的。
Really,
我们面临的都是同样的挑战，同样的信仰的考验。
So we're really encounter the similar challenges and also the similar tests.
所以我们看现代中文译本的翻译。雅各书一章一节，我雅各是上帝和主耶稣基督的仆人，我问候散居在全世界上的上帝的子民。
So if you look at the modern Chinese or the TV English one, they actually send a greeting to God's children scattered all over the world.
这就是雅各书的目的和它的魅力所在。
So this is really the purpose of the book of James and also the charm of this book.
那首先让我们就从雅各书一章二到三节来试着跨越一个喜乐观。
So let's read 2-3 and try to go over the gulf of joy.
二到三节喜乐的态度。
So they really talk about the joyful attitude.
雅各书一章二到三节，我的弟兄们，你们落在百般试炼中，都要以为大喜乐，因为你们知道你们的信心经过试验，就生忍耐。在这两节经文中，我们需要注意两个词。
So in these two scriptures, you pay attention to two words.
就是第二节中的试炼和第三节中的试验。
So it's really the trials and also the tests.
那我们先来看看试炼这个词在新约圣经中一共出现了20次，不算多。
So the trials appeared about 20 times in the New Testament, not too many.
它基本上有两个含义。
But there are two meanings.
一方面呢，是来自于人的内在的受罪恶的引诱。
So one is really coming from internal, it's really the temptation of sins.
我们举个例子，提摩太前书六章九节，但那些想要发财的人就陷在迷惑，就是陷在试炼中。落在网罗和许多无知有害的私欲里，叫人沉在败坏和灭亡中。
So one example really from the First Timothy, chapter 6, verse 9.
另外呢，还有呢，就是一个外在的因素。
Another meaning is really coming, the factor,
external factor. 遭受的苦难还有逼迫等等。
So all kinds of sufferings and persecutions.
包括钱财的得失，遭受不公平的待遇，身体的疾病啊，等等等等，这些外在的，这些我们称它也是试炼。
Such as, you know, financial loss, unfair treatment, and bodily ailments.
那在这所有的内外因素中的百般的试炼，我们可以肯定的讲，即便是信了耶稣基督。成为耶稣基督的信徒之后，我们或多或少、或迟或早，都不可避免的会遇到。
All these internal and external trials, as Christians, sooner or later, you know, more or less, you will face and encounter those type of trials.
所以经文在这里用了一个肯定的词。
So in the scripture, use a word with assurance.
你们落在百般的试炼中。
So in the Chinese version, it talks about you actually falling into this types of many times.
落在这百般的试炼中怎么样啊？后边一句，都要以为大喜乐，哇！
And you consider it a pure joy.
看完这句经文，可能有人说我的脑子有病啊。
Someone may say, you know, am I insane?
面对罪恶的诱惑，面对痛苦磨难的蹂躏，我还要大喜乐。
So when facing all kinds of temptations of sin, and when facing sufferings and persecutions, and I have to consider it pure joy.
大家注意，以为大喜乐是什么意思
？So here talking about the word consider.
以为就是当作。把它看成认为是大喜乐的事。
Really, basically, it means, you know, seeing it as if and see it as and think it as pure joy.
现在中文译本的翻译：弟兄们，你们遭遇各种试炼，应该认为是可庆幸的事。
So in the modern Chinese translation, make it a little bit more clear. Clearer. It really says.Consider yourself fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way.
为什么应该认为遭遇各种试炼是可庆幸的事情呢
？Why should you sort of take the trials as a pure joy?
这就是第三节要回答的问题。
So this is really the answer coming from the verse 3.
那大家一看到试验这个词儿，可能就会有点明白了。
When you're looking at the testing, so you probably finally clicked for you.
原来让我们遭遇各种试炼，是上帝用来成全我们信心的试验。
So those are really the tests, and God gave us to complete our faith.
是一种考验。
It's really a test.
所以在雅各一书三章中，考验这个词，我们也对它稍微有点了解。
So let's learn a little bit more about the testing in verse 3.
在整个新约圣经中，它只出现了两次。
So in the New Testament, it only appeared twice.
另外一次就是在彼得前书一章七节说，叫你们的信心既被试验，就比那被火试验仍然能坏的金子更显宝贵，可以在耶稣基督显现的时候得到称赞、荣耀、尊贵。
Yeah, the other appearance really from First Peter 7.
那上帝让我们的信心经历各种各样的逆境、磨练、试验的目的是什么
？So what really the purpose for God really put our faith into all kinds of adversities?
这样的试验要达到一个结果。
And the outcome of such a testing will be.
这就是第三节后边，你们的信心经过试验就生忍耐。
That review from the latter part of three.
我们看一下天主教斯高本的翻译，你们的信德受过考验，才能生出坚忍。
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, it really produces perseverance. You look at the Catholic translation, it's also talked about it's a must. You go through the trials your faith and your moral must go through the test. Only produce perseverance.
所以我盼望弟兄姐妹和朋友们，我们现在仔细再回想一下，忍耐，在我们学习、工作、生活等等一切关系中重不重要？忍耐重不重要？
So just to really think about your life and whether perseverance is important in our study, in our family life, or at our work life.
忍耐太重要了。
Absolutely important.
在家庭关系中，夫妻之间如果没有忍耐，或者叫缺乏忍耐的话，会出现什么情况
？So what if between the couple they're lacking of perseverance？
我的大姐姐和姐夫，他们两个人谁都不忍耐谁，从他们结婚一直到离开，两个人，
yeah, so,
结果是什么
？So
影响到了他的孩子。
So my elder sister and my brother-in-law.From the moment they got married, they never really have this perseverance among them until the time they depart. And this is very badly influenced their kid.
那我们与父母之间的关系，与我们的孩子之间的关系，如果没有忍耐或者缺乏忍耐的话，会是一个什么样的结果？我们的家庭是一个什么样的状况
？So how about lacking of perseverance between parents and children?
同样在工作、在学习的关系中，和同事、同学之间，还有和我们的上司之间，如果我们缺乏忍耐的话，怎么样啊？我不讲，大家都能想象出来。
So the same also apply to your study environment, your work environment between you and your fellow students, your coworkers, and even between you and your boss.
因着忍耐在我们的生活在我们的生命中是如此的重要，所以我们的忍耐要具备一个什么东西呢
？So because perseverance is so important to us, and the perseverance must be equipped with.
要跨越一个小小的一个小台阶，就是顺服的意志。
Yeah, we have to get down the step and really having this obedient will.
雅各书一章四节，但忍耐也当成功，是你们成全完备，毫无缺欠。
So in verse four, talk about
这个台阶很高啊。
And so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking of anything.
那大家从这一节经文中看没有看到顺服的含义
？So did you see, really experience the meaning of obedience?
现在中文译本，你们要忍耐到底，才能够达到十全十美，没有任何缺欠。
So also in the modern Chinese, it also says you are perseverance to the end, and then you can become perfected.
新译本，但忍耐要坚持到底，是你们可以完全毫无缺欠。
The new translation also says you will actually persevere to the end.
忍耐也当成功的意思就是。 要忍耐到底，要将我们的忍耐进行到底。
So it really shows here you got to carry that perseverance to the end, to the goal.
这需要什么呀？不能半途而废，用一种顺顺服服的心态，意志坚定地朝着那个非常高的目标去前进。
So what that really means, you cannot quit halfway, and really with an obedient will, willingly to go towards the end.
那这个目标呢是成全完备，毫无缺欠。
And this goal is really making you, is to make you complete and lacking of nothing.
那雅各是对信徒来讲，那我相信从古代到今天，没有一个信徒敢拍着自己的胸脯说，我的道德和属灵方面已经成为完全无罪的状况。
So I believe none of us, or even any of the our brother and sister in previous generation, cannot boast that we are already perfected in our moral ethics and spiritual standards.
成全，成全这个词基本上有三个含义，一个呢是完全的意思。
So mature have three meanings. The first one is really talk about complete.
完全的意思就是合乎最高标准。
So it's really it's a complete by the highest standards.
另外一个意思就是成熟、成长、完全长成。第三个意思呢是发展的完全，是属灵方面的。
So the third one, second one is really grown. That means mature. And third one is really Their meaning is just how completely developed morally.
罗马书十二章二节大家都非常熟悉，不要效法这个世界，只要心意更新而变化，叫你们查验何为神的良善、纯全，就是这个词，可喜悦的旨意。
Yeah, I think Romans 12:2 is a very familiar verses for us, and they're really talking, you know, not conformed to the patterns of the world, but transformed by renewing of your mind, and you will be able to test and prove.What God's will is.
哥林多前书十三章十节，等那完全的来到，这有限的必归于无有了。
Yeah, First Corinthians 13:10 also talks about when the completeness comes.
那很显然，这两段经文呢是描写一个非常非常完完全全的，那只有神是描述神的。
Yeah, those are really a description, the perfection, the completeness, really a description of our God.
我们再看两节经文，《哥林多前书》十四章二节，弟兄们在心智上不要做小孩子，然而在恶事上要做婴孩，在心智上总要做大人，就是这个成全这个字。
Yeah, let's look at another two examples from 1 Corinthians 14:20. Also talk about this completeness in terms of your behavior.
以弗所书四章十三节，只等到我们众人在真道上同归于一，认识神的儿子，得以长大成人。就是成全，满有基督长成的身量。
Right, from Ephesians 4:13, it's also talking about the unity of faith and knowledge, and talking about attaining to the whole measures of the fullness of Christ.
那同样是成全这个词，在这两处经文中形容的是人长大成熟。
So in these two examples, they're talking about the maturing, the process of maturing.
所以对这。第四节的了解就是说，我们对生活在现代现今世代的基督徒而言，我们需要顺服的意志。
So it's really talking about for our modern Christians, we need this obedient willing.
这个顺服不是一下子形成的。
So this is not like one coming overnight.
而是一步一步，一天一天，一件事情一件事情的，使我们经历深。心灵各种各样的诱惑也好，愁苦也好，磨难也好，经过这些煎熬的试炼之后
，It's really one step at a time, one thing at a time. So we experience those temptations, whether physical, psychological, spiritual, all kinds of sufferings.
成全，完备。毫无缺欠是什么意思？毫无缺欠就是不留遗憾的。
So we become perfected, complete, and the lacking of anything really means you will obtain this goal without any regrets.
不留遗憾地去实现我们属灵成熟的目标。
Yeah, we have no regrets to become mature in our spiritual life.
我记着我那个大姐夫，老的时候躺在床上哭啊。你们这些孩子没有一个跟我亲的。后来我说，这些孩子都像你。
Yeah, so when my brother-in-law sort of passed away, before he passed away, and he cried and said, none of the kids are very close to him. And our pastor said, well, you know, they just kind of like you.
我这儿有一本最新的一期传递生命的期刊，是第七、第八月份的，今年的。
So I have this, the newest periodical called Passing Life.
其中有一个神学语言故事。
There's a theological fable in this issue.
说有一个人向神祷告说：“神呐，我要为你做点事情。”神说：“好，前面有块大石头，你替我推它去吧。”
So someone really prayed to God and asked God, "I want to do something for you." And God said, "Yeah, well, there's a big rock in front of you, and please push it away."
那人非常听话，就开始为神推石头。
He was very obedient and started to push the rock.
谁知道他推了一天、一个月、六个月，石头动也不动。
So he done that for a day, 6 months, a year, and the rock is not even budge.
那人非常懊恼，对神说：“我真没用的，这石头被我推了六个月，竟然没有移动半寸。”
Now that person was very disappointed and said, "Oh, I was really unable, and not even moving it an inch."
神说了，你没有听清楚，我只是叫你推它，没有让你推动它。
So you didn't really understand my goal. I asked you to push it. I didn't ask you to push it away.
虽然石头没有被移动，但是你看看，在这六个月下来以后，你的手臂和大腿都强壮多了。
Although the rocks did not move, but see you became stronger, the strong arms and legs.
那人才恍然大悟。
So that person was just, finally clicked.
所以他讲，你看，许多时候神的方法和我们的想法完全不一样。
So this really tells us, I think moral of the story is really sometimes God's methods are so different than ours.
神看我们的生命比看我们的工作重要。
So God take more important, take see more important our your life rather than your.
看我们的生命比看我们的工作做什么重要。
It's more important to see your life rather than what you do.
那在我们的信仰道路上，我们的生命能否一步一步地走向成熟？
So in our spiritual life, whether we can become mature one step at a time.
除了接受生命态度、顺服、意志的操练之外。
Besides having this willing obedience, and also,
还要接受心智上的操练。
And we also need to be trained in our mind.
五到八节，相信的心智。
So 5 to 8 talk about believing mind.
我们先看第五节，你们中间若有缺少智慧的，应当求那厚赐于众人也不斥责人的上帝，主就必赐给他。
Yeah, verse 5.
我相信大多数人在读雅各书一章五节的时候，都不会将这里的智慧看成是知识或者学问，是吧？
I believe many of us, when we read this, see the wisdom, we don't see it as knowledge only.
确切的讲呢，这里所讲的智慧，就是前面第二到三节所讲到我们落在百般的试炼中的时候。如果你们中间若有，我们实在没有办法，也没有顺服的心智，也没有顺服的意志，把我们生命中所遭遇的试炼看成是大喜乐的事情的时候。
So this wisdom really talk about when, if we fall into this trials of many kinds.And we really have no remedy and no method, and lacking of the willingness and also lacking of the attitude to face this and taking the trials as pure joy.
我们实在是从那种痛苦中跳不出来，我们怎么着我就不会认为那是可庆幸的事情的时候，这个时候呢，就说明什么？说明我们遇到困境的时候，缺乏一种做出明智选择的能力。
So this wisdom really describes this situation. If you're really in that situation, which means you're really lacking the ability to make the right choice.
这个智慧就是一种明智选择的能力。
So this wisdom is really the ability to discern and making the right choice.
那经文在这里呢，劝我们向上帝求智慧、求能力的时候，使用了一个我们非常得安慰的词儿。
So when this verse really encourages us to ask for wisdom from God, use a very comforting word.
这是一位不斥责人的上帝。
So talking about this God not finding fault in you.
那我还想讨论这个"斥责"这个词儿，
One,
在新约圣经中大概出现了10次。
So this not finding fault appear 10 times in New Testament.
其中有2次呢，是描写的那个在和耶稣基督同钉十字架那个强盗，有2次讥诮主耶稣。
But there are twice, really describe those one of the thieves, crucified with Jesus, at the same time sort of mocked our Lord Jesus Christ.
另外还有4次呢，是耶稣跟门徒讲的，说你们为了我的名会遭受辱骂。
So there are 4 times Jesus taught his disciples that they will bear verbally abuses from people because of his name.
另外还有2次呢，是耶稣斥责人的。我们来看看这2处。
And there are another 2 times really talk about Lord Jesus sort of rebuke others.
马太福音11章20节，耶稣在主城中行了许多异能，那些城的人终不悔改。就在那时候责备他们。
So one of the examples is from Matthew 11:20.
另外呢，在马可福音16章14节，后来11个门徒坐席的时候，耶稣向他们显现，是复活了以后的，责备他们不信，心里刚硬，因为他们不信那些在他复活以后看见他的人。
The other one is from Mark 16:14.
读了这两处经文，大家有什么感想？
So what thoughts you have after read these two scriptures?
耶稣仅仅做过的2次责备，第一个呢是责备那些顽固不悔改的人。
So the twice when Jesus rebuked people, once is really towards those people who are stubborn and not repent.
再就是那些既缺乏信心又心里顽固的信徒。
So then,
12个人是什么人？
So then, another time really, really rebuke or denounce the disciples who with a small faith and also stubborn.
所以雅各的弟弟最了解上帝，最了解耶稣。他说，面对深深陷入那种艰难困苦中，那些试炼中来求上帝的人，他不会责备你的。
So really, James, our Lord's brother, really know our God and Jesus very well. He said, if you are really falling into this temptation, then God will not really find fault in you.
当我们陷入试炼中来求神的话，他不会讥诮我们，你们不配。实际上我们真的是不配。
So he's not going to ridicule you, you're unworthy. But you know, the fact is we're actually really unworthy.
他也不会责备我们，你为什么不早来求呢？
Not,
耶稣神一直在等我们。
Yeah, he's not going to blame you that why you're not coming to him earlier, although he's waiting for you all the time.
所以这里头最最关键的是什么？
The key is
在于我们求不求。
Is whether we ask or we not ask,
或者是我们以怎样的心态来求，这个很重要。
Or with what attitude we ask.
你看诗篇81篇 10节，我是耶和华你的上帝，曾把你从埃及地领上来，你要大大的张口来求我， 我就给你充满。
Yeah, well, in Psalm it says, "Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it."
接下来的经文，我们来看十一和十二节。无奈我的民不听我的声音，以色列全不理我，我便任凭他们心里刚硬，随自己的计谋而行。
So here also talk about because his people do not listen, and he will give them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices.
我们的计谋从哪里来
？So where are sort of strategies coming from, or our way of living?
我们因生活在这个世界上。
Yeah, because we live in this world.
在我们自己的家庭环境中，我们经历的那些经验，从小到大，影响了我们对上帝的信心。
Yeah, our device is really coming from our own personal and family experience, and which are really deeply impact our faith to God.
我借着这个经文向我们在座的每一位提出挑战，就是说我们在家庭里边的经验，影响了我们对上帝的信心。
So I really use this verse to challenge everyone here to understand whatever we do in our family will also do the same to the faith and to God.
那具体一点来讲吧，作为夫妻，作为家长，我们对自己的先生，对自己的太太，或者对我们自己的孩子，他们出现挫折、出现失误、出现错误的时候，我们有没有，或者是不是常常的对他们发出讥诮、埋怨、责备、训斥，有没有
？So, take example for husband, wife, and parents. So when your wife or husband or kids facing setbacks, mistakes, do we often reproach, blame, ridicule, or reprimand?
我有一个外甥，是另外一个姐姐姐夫他们家的孩子。
So I have a nephew, also from my.
这个外甥从小在他就是在我的姐姐和姐夫他们的期盼的那种讥诮、埋怨、责备、训斥中长大。
So my nephew actually grew up from a very good intended ridicule.
现在已经成家立业了，也当了爸爸了。
Now he's a father and has his own family.
我和师母回国探亲去探望他们，从地铁站口接上我们，他开着车到他们家短短的一小段路程。
So when we visit his family from the subway station to his home, it's very, very short commute.
除了寒暄之外，
besides the greetings,
他一路上频繁地摁喇叭。
So he honked all the way.
满嘴的讥诮、埋怨、责备、训斥那些路人，还有那些其他开车的。
It has a mouthful of blaming and ridiculing, reproach the pedestrians and other cars.
我记得在一次上他上初中的时候，我和师母当时去他们家，我姐姐好像要再盯一个什么东西，她挺能干的，然后说：“旭旭，把那个榔头拿来。”结果儿子问：“榔头在哪儿？”你知道我姐姐说什么？就不是这个家里的人，什么是东西你都不知道在哪里。当时师母听了以后，那个心揪的。
So I remember one instance when he was a junior high schooler. So my sister was trying to hang a piece of art on the wall, asking my nephew to help him out to getting the hammer. And the kid asked where the hammer is. And the mom said, well, you'll never see yourself as a part of the family. You don't know where things are.
所以接下来我要跟大家分享的就是父母在我们心中所留下的阴影和习惯会带进我们未来的学习、家庭、工作乃至于教会一切的生活环境中。
Right, how your parenting are going to really, influence the kids' life, no matter whether they're in school, in at work, or in their own families, and even in church.
请问我们看到这种人所表露出来的这种性情, 能改吗?
When you see people that really, already, you know, sort of learn, acquire such a behavior and the characteristics, can they
或者说是容易改吗?
Is it easy for them to change?
人的俗话有一句怎么说呢? 江山易改,秉性难移。
So the one Chinese saying, you know, changing a person's characters is harder than you changing of the face of the earth.
就是这样的,来自于人的,我们的心理经验,从骨子里边, 影响到了我们对上帝的信心。
So all this experience we learn from our own life are really deeply impact our faith to God.
所以上帝借着雅各的口在接下来的经文告诫我们说,
So in the following verses, and God by James' mouth,
6-8节, 只要凭着信心求，一点不疑惑，因为那疑惑的人就像海中的波浪，被风吹动翻腾。这样的人，不要想从主那里得到什么。心怀二意的人，在他一切所行的路上都没有定见。
Use the two words to warn us, or you know, remind us from verse 6 and 2-8.
经文这里非常形象的用两个比喻来形容。 那些信心软弱的什么人呢？信徒。
So they really use the two analogies here to describe the disciples of a small faith.
那一种呢，像海中的波浪被风吹动翻腾的信徒。
So one kind is a disciple like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind.
海中的波浪。 它是随着风向风力变换而上下左右前后冲撞翻腾的。
So the wave really sort of go by the wind, the power of wind, go up and down, left and right, and you know, go all over the directions.
你要看那个波浪的话, 它每时每刻既没有稳定的时候, 也没有一定的形状。
So you look at the waves, they're really unstable at any time, and they have no certain shapes.
这个形容的是入木三分呐，就这样的信徒就像一个随着己意、心里变化无常、极不成熟的孩子一样。
So this is really good analogy talking about you know, the or believers really go by their own emotions and their own thoughts, and they're really immature.
盼望我们不要落入这样的光景。
And I pray for us not falling into this list.
心怀二意的信徒是什么样子的?
So what the other kind is the double-minded believers.
如果仔细来分析来查究这个心怀二意它的里边的意思呢, 是形容具有极度分裂的两个灵魂的信徒。
So the double-minded believer really means a believer who with an extremely splitted soul and spirit.
就像这本麦克阿瑟牧师他著的新约注释雅各书里边他所描绘的。
It's like Mike Arthur's sort of book.
他说简单的说,心怀二意的人是什么样的? 他虽说自己是信徒,行为却表现出不信的样子。
So, yeah, it's simply put. And although they call themselves believers, but they're not really sort of acted out.
在遇见严重的试炼时，他就转而去寻求人的帮助，而不是单单信靠主，祈求答案和帮助。
So when they're facing trials, instead of turning to God, and they're turning to other people's help.
或者他充满了苦毒和怨恨，根本不寻求帮助。
Or they're full of bitterness and hate.
注意下面这句，他没有弃绝神，但他表现出来的就像神根本不存在、不关心，或者没有能力拯救他脱离困境。
And they're not searching any help, and they are not forsake God, but what they did is seem like they not really have no faith and no confidence in God to helping them.
他知道神的话语、神的爱、神的恩典和神的供应，但是他拒绝支取这些属天的资源。
So he knows, he in knowledge, he understands God's word, God's love, God's grace and supply, but he refused to get those resources from God.
哇！所以接下来的经文，雅各呢又帮助我们列举了两个操练成熟信徒的极端的例子。
So they also, in the following scriptures, James giving two examples of extremely mature believers.
九到十一节，谦卑的灵性。
9-11 really, talk about humble spirits.
怎么样来操练？我们看。
Let's see how we train ourselves.
九到十一节，卑微的弟兄升高就该喜乐，回到了开始第二节那个。富足的降卑也该如此，因为他必要过去，如同。草上的花一样，太阳出来，热风刮起，草就枯干，花也凋谢，美容就消没了。那富足的人在他所行的事上也要这样衰残。
So from 9-11, sounds great.
无论在初代教会时期，还是在当今的时代，处于贫穷和富裕这两个生活极端情况下的人，所面对的是什么呢？
So it doesn't matter back then or now, to people who living in extreme poverty or affluence, what the type of challenge they face.
贫穷、富裕这两个极端的人所面临的是最突出的、最艰难的试炼。
So both of them, whether extreme poor or extreme rich, they also face the most difficult and prominent trials.
所以经文在这个时候用这两个极端的例子提醒我们是在物质生活方面的操练。
So this really use these two words to ask us to train us through the material life.
当然在初代教会他们那个时候罗马帝国的时候，那个时候不像我们今天的社会有那么多的中产阶级占大部分。
So back in Roman Empire, it's not like today, they do not have a big middle class.
那个时候的穷人和富人的台阶非常高，逾越是非常困难的。90%属于穷人，只有10%的人是贵族富人。
So back then, there's a big gulf can never be passed over between the poor and the rich. About 90% of them are living in the bottom of the society, and only 10% are noble people.
但是那时候的环境也不影响我们今天的环境，因为在今天这个社会中，确实这个贫富差距，我们说在过去在中国大陆、在东南亚地区，实际上在美国呢，也是有一定的距离的。
So well, if you look at this, probably similar. You know, even in our modern society, and still probably have a big gap between the rich and the poor.
所以现在我想请问，耶稣基督福音的魅力在哪里？
So what's the charm of God's gospel?
信耶稣的好处在哪里？
So what's the benefit to believing Jesus?
当处于贫穷和富裕两个生活极端的状况下的人，他们进入教会之后，成为耶稣基督的信徒之后，怎么样？身份地位一下发生了反转，我们互相之间可以称为什么呀？弟兄姐妹，这就是福音的魅力。
Yeah, so really the charm of the gospel lies in when the two extreme social classes come together under the roof of church, and their status and identity suddenly change. Now they can call each other brothers and sisters.
但是有些心智细腻的人可能还会不甘心地提出疑问，说我同意贫穷是对人的试炼，但可以说富裕也是对人的试炼的。
But I think some of you may ask, understand poverty is definitely a trial, but why the richness is also a trial?
大陆是一个电影啊，还是哪儿有一个笑话，说那个人富到最后什么呀？ 只剩下钱了，亲情、友情、人格全都没了。
So in China, I think it's a movie. There's one line in the movie talk about this rich person is so poor because they only have money left. That money is the only thing he has, and he lost his his relatives, his love, and also his characteristic.
所以，当我们失去健康，我们被朋友出卖，遭受恶意重伤的时候，金钱能为我们买来心灵的平安，或者减少我们的痛苦吗？
The money can really mend once we are losing our health, was sold by our friends or slandered.
当我们的生命中出现了极端的试炼，我们失去儿女，失去妻子，失去丈夫，失去其他亲人的时候，财富能够安慰我们伤悲的灵吗？
Can money really comfort us when we facing losing children, husband or wife, or any other close people?
所以经文再次提醒我们说，富人穷人是一样的，我们必须越过那个外在的物质的环境，看见的永久长存的属灵的价值。
So this verse really remind us, no matter whether we're poor or rich, we all must pass over this material world environment and look at the long-lasting and eternal value, the spiritual value.
所以在接下来的雅各书二章一到十三节，继续这个话题，雅各在提醒我们，在教会的信仰的团体中，不要嫌贫爱富。
So in the book James 2, they also talk about, in the church, we'll treat the poor and the rich equally.
你看第五节第二章，我亲爱的弟兄们，请听，上帝岂不是拣选了世上的贫穷人，叫他们在信上富足，并承受他所应许给那些爱他之人的国吗？
So like in verse in 2:5, it talks about the poor inherited, the rich through the gospels.
那我们看十一节经文的时候，大家可能读起来非常的熟悉，它实际上是引自旧约圣经以赛亚书里边四十章六到八节的那一段。
Yeah, if we look at the verse 11 in chapter 1, it's really cited from the Isaiah chapter 40:6-8.
那另外我跟大家挑了一段经文，就是诗篇四十九篇十六到十七节。
It's another verses I cited really from Psalms 49:16.
见人发财家是增荣的时候，你不要惧怕，因为他死的时候什么也不能带去，他的荣耀不能随他下去。
So basically talk about you cannot bring all your material wealth richness with you when people are died.
所以这在旧约里边，在初代教会时候，这是一个讨论非常多的话题。
So in the first generation of church, this really is probably a hot topic back then.
一个人的信心真实与否，或者说成熟与否。
So talking about faith, whether they're real or mature,
在遭遇困难的时候就会显明出来。
Will really appeal once we face trials.
所以今天的经文提醒我们，当信仰只是一种口头的承诺，或者是一种口头的感觉的话。
When the believer really only believe through our mouth.
艰难困苦甚至灾难临到的时候呢，这个试炼就是对我们信仰的成熟与否的试金石。
So really the trials and tests really are the touchstone of our faith.
因为单单依靠一切事情顺利的这样的信心，说的严重一点，不是得救的信心。
So if we're talking about faith during smooth sailing,And if I can say this, and this is not really a phase of salvation.
单单求一切事情顺利的话，这种信心是没有价值的。
if we only ask for, you know, we have a very smooth life, an eventful life, and this phase is really worthless.
昨天晚上我跟师母讨论，礼拜五的时候，我相信几个小组都在讨论。
So、
说这样的单单求顺利的这种信心呢，甚至可以说这种信心根本不叫信心，因为他欺骗了那些相信他的人，欺骗了那些愿意相信他的人。
I'm sure all the church study groups, and even between me and my wife, we discussed this lately.And the phase only, you know, asking for an eventful life is not really phase because you really, really lie to people who want to become believers.
神要试炼我们，神要使我们经过艰难困苦磨砺之后变得坚韧，变得成熟。
God wants to test us and to put us in through all kinds of trials, so through which we'll become mature and complete.
我们要学习的是喜乐的态度，顺服的意志，相信的心智，谦卑的灵性。
So we all should learn this joyful attitude, obedient will, believing mind, and humble spirit.
在中国大陆早期教会发展的农村中，曾经流传过一个误解福音的故事或者笑话。
So
后来呢，就在东南亚一带有许许多多的咖啡。
So in the early sort of gospel in mainland China, back in the countryside, there was a story how people they misunderstood gospel.
说有一个在南方乡下的教会，房顶的墙壁上写着“信耶稣得永生”。
So this was a church in the southern China, and on their roof, you know, the wall it says.You have a eternal life through Jesus.
多少年之后呢？有一天下了一场多年不见的大雨，雨过天晴之后呢，有一个农夫呢就跑来敲开教会的门说：“牧师啊，信耶稣很好，我要信耶稣。”
So after many years, you know, they have a big rain, probably storm, and after the storm passed, a farmer knocked on the door and talked to the Pastor and say, hey, Pastor, I really believe in Jesus so good. I want to believe in Jesus.
牧师说，哇，好啊，来，我们一起跪下，我带领你做一个相信的觉知的祷告。我要相信神，我把我的生命交给你。他一听，牧师，我不要这个。
So the pastor was very excited. Said, yeah, that's you know, kneel and really, you know, go through the ceremony to become a Christian. And the farmer said, I don't really want that.
牧师问他：“你要什么？”他说：“我要水牛。”
He talked to the pastor. Pastor said, "What do you want then?"
他说：“你们教会的房顶上写着‘信耶稣得水牛’。”
So he said he wanted buffaloes because the rain washed away the word on the roof.
原来年代久远，再加上大雨的冲刷，那个永生。被刷成了一个水牛了。
And the eternal life becomes a buffalo.
而那位农妇是他当地的人，年年月月甚至天天从这儿路过，看见那个永生，他不来敲门。
So this is a local farmer. For many, you know, years, he passed through the church and to see this eternal life printed on the roof, he never really come in.
唯独看到水牛的时候，第一个到教会来敲门。
So only when he saw the buffaloes, and he was the first one to knock on the door of church.
所以问题是，我们相信耶稣看重的是永生呢，还是看重的和我们的物质利益、我们的身体健康、我们的工作、学业等等等等直接相关的水牛呢？
So when we believe in Jesus, I guess what the purpose is, whether you really look at the eternal life or you want to get the buffalo, sort of, you know, meaning our material life, you know, our work success and study success.
我们一起低头祷告。
So let's pray together.
恩主慈爱的阿爸父，我们感谢你赐给我们宝贵的话语。
So our Heavenly Father, and we thank you for your love, and thank you for your blessing to give us such words.
您的话语真的像主您自己讲的那样，像两刃的剑，刺破我们的灵魂，刺破我们的骨髓。
So your word, just like what you're saying, is like a double-edged sword, really, really separate our flesh, our bones, and marrow.
求主您让我们这些愿意跟随主您的信徒们，因着主您的话语，能够一天一天的在主您里边得到主您的能力，得到主您的智慧，变得成熟。
Yeah, we ask, we pray for all the believers and who will, one day at a time, one step at a time, to become mature, to really gain the wisdom and ability, from you.
盼望在主您再来的时候，我们这些众弟兄姐妹们，我们这些愿意顺服在主您面前的弟兄姐妹们，能够欢欢喜喜的、快快乐乐的来领取您从上面给我们的奖赏。
So we really pray when you come back again, all the brothers and sisters will willingly and joyfully to receive the reward from you.
感谢主您这样的感恩，祈求祷告，奉靠主耶稣基督的名求。
So really, thank you, and this prayer and praise are in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. So I ask everyone to stand up.
我们一起用神的话语接受赐福。
Let's receive the benediction.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 愿主耶稣基督的恩惠、父神的慈爱、圣灵的交通与感动常与你们众人同在。从今时直到永永远远 ，Amen，Amen，
Amen.
大家请坐。